listeners, here we are again. We're going to give you your mailbag. We're going to have a pick a side segment. You guys let us know who you think's going to win and lose those fucking trades. I'm joined, as always, by the Dynasty Degenerate himself, Mr. Steven Sampson. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, Degenerates? We are in mandatory training camp, and it's almost football time.
Yeah, right? Eric, the DFS Degenerate, is here. The commissioner himself. How are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I love it, man. Football's so close. DFS season is a little further out. I don't fuck with preseason much, but redraft season is real close.
Yeah, can fucking taste it.
Getting close.
Well, I don't see any reason to put it off. Boys, let's jump straight into the mailbag.
The mailbag.
So our first email is from Ben. He says, "What's up, fellas? Who is one player you are absolutely 100% drafting above his ADP, and who is one player you are not drafting, no matter the value and why? Have a great day, boys." First off, there is nobody that we are not drafting, no matter the value. At some point, they become draftable. No matter how much we dislike them, the upside's just too high. So who is somebody you're fading, and who is somebody you're reaching for, Steven? Do you you have that information for our listeners? Do you feel comfortable disclosing it?
I will. I've had enough drafts, and I think I can open up the little black book here and pull out a couple of names. One of the players that I will reach for a round or two is Courtland Sutton, coming back off the injury. He's still going a little bit later than I think he should in drafts, especially dynasty startups, which is odd, but it might be silly. The quarterback situation. But the talent is there, and I will reach a couple of rounds to grab Sutton. For me, where he's currently going, Najee Harris is somebody that I would draft. Unfortunately, I think the closer we get to redraft, he's going to creep up, and he'll be in a point where I just won't take him because I think he's going to go too high.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, right now he's 38 overall, running back 22. He's going to be in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, my hope is that people are so scared off by the Clyde Edwards-Helaire experiment that he stays out of the first, because I want him.
This is redraft. There is no memory retention for fantasy at all. The guy that burned you 3 years in a row, and I guarantee you it'll happen. Oh, hey, I know this guy. I'm gonna put his sticker up on the board, and it'll happen at Eric's draft. Watch.
Yeah.
unfortunately, the redraft community is that way. They have short memories, and that what they did last year that didn't work, they're gonna do the same thing again this time.
Mm-hmm. Eric, do you have some answers for our listeners?
Yeah. So first I want to circle back to what you said. And if we did like a top 10 rules to improve your fantasy drafts and your teams and how you do, everybody is available at the right price would definitely be one of my 10. Because that is a true statement. Everybody is available for the right price. Mm-hmm. No matter how much I don't like him. If he drops two rounds and he becomes a discount, and, you know, we'll talk business. Like A.J. Brown, for example, somebody I talked about last week who I said was probably going to be somebody I'm fading because his ADP was getting too high with the recent Julio Jones trade. His ADP might get a little more, settle into a spot where I like him better, you know, third round or whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's a couple guys that are going real late right now. This is early. We're in early mid-June right now, mid-June technically. Still a little early to be answering this question, you know, with a ton of data because it's redraft season hasn't really begun yet. So, but right now, there's two guys I see jumping out to me that are going real late. One of them, believe it or not, is a guy I've talked about and I haven't spoken highly of him, and it's Michael Carter. He's going at, what did you say, Brian? Running back 47?
Michael Carter is currently the 129th overall pick, running back 46.
Oh, he's an 11th round pick. Mental.
Yes.
As much as I don't like him, that's exactly the guy I'm talking about. That's way too low. The upside is too high. You smash a guy like that. If you're drafting in redrafts right now, 11-9 all day and night. I'd even take him to two rounds earlier. Ninth round, eighth round, if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And another guy who was slipping, man, and I think this is going to get a rise out of Brian and Steve. Michael Gallup.
You're going to take my guy.
Michael Gallup.
Oh. Yeah.
He's going as wide receiver 50. And that offense, though, man, that offense should be elite. I mean, look what they did last year. It's tough to judge. It was a four-game sample size, and it was almost like it was unsustainable what that team was doing. But
yeah, but how much higher is he going to get? Because
he's going in the 11th or 12th rounds. I'm fine with taking Gallup in the 11th or 12th round.
I think he's arguing that he's going too late. I don't know.
He's going too low. Yeah.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think 11th.
I'm good with him right there.
Is where he should be going.
If he caught a few more touchdowns, he would have finished top 30.
Yeah, but he won't.
He might. You got to think that offense is, you get a piece of a potential top five offense in the 11th, 12th round, you take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where he's literally the worst piece.
I mean,
I don't know if he's the worst piece, but
he's in the 11th to 12th round already. That's his ADP is 127. So that's right where he's going. So I don't think he's going too low. I mean, maybe you could argue he could go in the 10th, and I would be okay with that. Any higher than that, I think you're going to fall in the same trap you fell in last year.
He's going wide receiver 50 with the potential to finish top 30. Smash it all day. That's just my opinion. And a guy I think who's going too high, and I will continue to say this, is Jonathan Taylor. He's going too high.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, as far as Gallup goes, I just think he's behind CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin. Like, I just don't see any room for him. I think that he's surrounded by talent. He's last in the pecking order. And that's the only reason I'm fading. I'm like, yeah, he's going to be on a great offense, but he's also surrounded by great players. And I don't want to own the last guy on the totem pole unless I get him at a value. Where he's going right now, I'm interested. Any higher, I'm probably not.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eric, that he's going to finish above the wide receiver 50. I do agree with you, but
there's no upside.
No,
of course there's upside. It's a top five, potential top five offense. How's that not upside? Like I said, if he gets a little progression in the touchdown department, we're singing a different tune on Gallup.
I think his best case is a high-end wide receiver 3. You know, wide receiver 25, 26, somewhere around there. I think his best case. So I'm not spending higher than a 10th round pick on him.
That's fine. I would spend an 8th on him, personally. But
oh, so maybe this is the guy you reach for.
Yeah,
potentially. I'm not going to reach for him. Like, he's one of those. He's a guy that, like, I think if he fell to me in the right spot, it he'd be worth a stab. But I say I'd take him in the 8th round, but I'm full of shit, probably. If it was like the 9th, I'd maybe be like, okay, let's see what's around me. Fuck it. Let's take Gallup.
And that's what I'm saying. If I would take him, if depending on who's around him. I think he's going where he should, in the range that he should be going. The rankings I'm looking at have defense special teams. So he actually would be roughly 10, 11, 12, somewhere right around there is where he's going to go. So if I'm in the 9th, I need a wide receiver and he's there and I don't like the choices around him, you know, Cole Beasley, Mike Williams, Evan Engram's there, John Brown, I would take Gallup, and I wouldn't even think about it.
Well, no, but that's kind of my point, though, is you look at who's going around him, and you got Corey Davis. What's he going to be? Antonio Brown, what's he going to be? Laviska Shenault, he has the potential to be number one on his team. Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs. All of those guys, to me, have a lot more upside. Like, yeah, they're a needle in a haystack, but they have potential to finish top 24. It's there. No matter how limited, it's there.
I'd take Smith and Waddle over him.
Michael Gallup does not finish top 24 unless there's injuries ahead of him.
I would take Smith and Waddle ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. No, I would too. I'm just assuming by the time it would get to me that, and I'm considering Gallup, those guys are gone.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, so one of the guys that I've been looking at top of the – somebody that I'm willing to reach for right now, Irv Smith is going as a tight end 16. I am definitely a buyer at tight end 16 after I already predicted that I think he'll finish top eight. And I don't know if he'll really wow you. I don't think he'll be somebody that you're just absolutely fucking thrilled to have in your lineup. But he's going to have boom games, and I don't think he's ever going to hurt you. He's never going to be below average, and he has those boom games where he finishes way above average. So Irv Smith at the tight end 16 is somebody that I'm definitely like, yeah, I'm taking him way above some of the guys ranked ahead of him on these lists.
I don't know, Brian. Zimmer said that Irv Smith's role is not going to change. You got to believe 100% what the coach says.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one of Eric's 10 commandments. Always believe the coach.
Yeah, coach speak. Fuck 100% them. Accurate 100% of the time.
There's certain ones I believe, and there's certain ones I don't believe a fucking word.
You know, and then a guy that's going too high for me, man, this is getting nitpicky, but these ADPs, they're a little out of whack, but at the same time, they're not crazy, I feel, like most of the time. Right now, A.J. Brown is going as the wide receiver 6, and this has been updated. This has been updated since the Julio trade, according to the website. So right now he's going as the wide receiver 6, and he's going before Calvin Ridley.
Nuts.
I'm pretty sure Calvin Ridley just got a pretty big boost, and A.J. Brown just got a monster for targets on his team. So, I mean, A.J. Brown's going above Justin Jefferson, Michael Thomas. Nuts. Yeah, I mean, that's a little far out of whack. He's got to come down, man. They need to re-update this website. He's got to come down more.
I think he will. I think he's gonna regress back to the third round, which is fine with me. If he goes around 10, 11, yeah, I'm good with
well,
it.
Well, it's
I'm
been like a week there. Since the trade, you know? That's the only reason I'm taking it so serious is it's not like he was traded yesterday.
You're still looking at – people are still doing dynasty startups and things like that and best ball. And they're taking A.J. Brown for the upside. It will normalize and level itself out by the time we get into mid to late July.
I think it takes a little while, I think, for those ADPs to kind of find water to find their level, whatever you want to say. It takes a good week or two, I think, to.
Yeah.
But it's been a week, like Brian said. So I don't fault you, though, man. He's still going too high.
No, he is. He gets into the third, we'll be much better. He'll be in a much better spot to take him.
So that will definitely bring us on to our next question from Ryan. He says, hey, guys, this is SurfDog90 from the Listeners League. How about you, brother? Have a question for you. It's about the Washington football team. The team is too good to get a top 10 pick, and we know Fitzmagic won't win them a Super Bowl. What is your opinion on how they should fix the QB situation? I think it's pretty simple. They're going to have to trade it up. They're going to have to mortgage their future and trade up. I don't see any other way. Even if they traded for Aaron Rodgers, that's a rental. So, I mean, do you guys see another path?
Do we know that Fitzmagic can't win them a Super Bowl?
We don't. I will say that.
Won
we
one
don't.
With Flacco, so... There's always the possibility that Fitzpatrick could actually take them to a Super Bowl. It's highly unlikely.
Flacco and Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, there's been several quarterbacks. But
here's a side question. This ain't on the ballot. How many playoff games has Ryan Fitzpatrick played in?
Three.
Zero.
None.
Zero.
None.
Yep. Zero.
Really?
None.
It's gonna change
he's
this year.
Never made the playoffs. Yeah, he's been on some dog shit teams though.
He's been on some bad fucking teams.
I'm pretty sure he's been in the playoffs on a team that's been in the playoffs. He just didn't start. But I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's been in a couple. He's been on a team that's been in a couple.
I don't watch him that closely, so I'm not going to argue with you. But I feel like he's gotten there at some point. But I definitely could be wrong. Don't take my word for it. But, yeah, no, I mean, this is the best defense that Fitz has ever worked with. It's the best cast he's ever worked with. It's the best coach he's ever worked with. I don't see any reason Fitzmagic won't make the playoffs this year. Like, he's better than people think.
Fitzpatrick's competitive but inconsistent performances have earned him the nickname Fitzmagic and Fitztragic. He has only two winning seasons, which occurred with the 2015 Jets and the 2020 Dolphins, and he has never made the playoffs. It should change this year, like you said. That division's still pretty sus at
dog
best.
Shit.
Yeah.
But in answer to the question, what do they do at quarterback, I think they're on a year-by-year basis. I mean, they're going to obviously have to trade up or at least be closer to 10 to get a quarterback that falls to them, like New England did this year. I think they just play it year-by-year for the next few years and see – who's available in free agency that can get them to the next year if they're down at 18 or 20 or in the 20s. I think that's all they really can do, or try to make a trade with a team a year ahead of time that they think's going to blow and going to get them a top 10 pick. But I think the price to trade up is too expensive.
They're one of them teams. They're going to have to mortgage the – they got to mortgage the future to trade up in the draft. They got to mortgage the future to trade for Deshaun Watson or something. Yeah. Maybe Houston would be more inclined to trade with somebody out of conference.
Correct.
Dan Snyder is also somebody who is not scared to pay at times. I mean, they got plenty. I mean, they got picks, I believe. They got young assets on that team if they needed to send somebody. Or just keep playing this rental game. You know, Fitzpatrick this year, who's it going to be next?
That's the thing. I think right now their eggs are in the Tyler Heinicke basket. They were like, oh, maybe. You know, he looked good in that playoff game. Maybe he's got something. Spoiler alert, he don't. So
they didn't pay a lot for him, and they've still got Kyle Allen, who Rivera drafted.
No, I'm fine bringing him back. I think he might be something, and he's not.
They might.
You know?
I don't think he is either, but they've got him so that they can see.
Yeah, he's dirt fucking cheap. You might as well bring him back. They paid him the league minimum.
There's a chance, you know, maybe they trade for Minshew next year.
I'm surprised they haven't traded for him now.
Contract. There's going to be, you know, there'll probably be some free agents available. I would imagine Trubisky will be available that you could grab for a 1 or 2 year rental while you there,
that does not solve anything. Top pick.
It gets them closer to the number one pick, Brian.
You just want to win the beer bet.
It gets them closer to the number one pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that pretty much answers that one. It's like, there's really, they don't have a whole lot of avenues, and they could trade for Gardner, and he would have a professional, top-notch interception thrower to show Gardner how to perfect his craft.
You see that boy's fucking hairdo, Gardner?
No.
Oh, that boy's a stud. He's rocking that Mississippi mud flap, dude. I was like, look at this fucking stud muffin. It's like he looked like he was going to a fucking 70s porn set, dude. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what, man. He's pretty ripped too. I'm like, yeah, he's been hitting it hard, man. He's been working out.
Oh yeah, well he thinks he can beat out Trevor, you know. Yeah. Give me one more year, I'll show
Give
you.
Me a year, bro.
Don't you want him to learn? So we got one more mailbag question from Luke, who says, "Sup, losers. With the signing of Julio in Tennessee, what's your outlook on players involved? A.J. Brown, Hunter Henry, Jesus H. A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Calvin Ridley, etc. Can't wait to take your money." Also in the Listener League. So, I mean, obviously, A.J. Brown, we agree, he's going to take somewhat of a hit, you know, to the degree of which is up to interpretation. Derrick Henry, I think, is more or less the same. Ridley gets a big bump. He's going to do what he did last year, which is just light the league on fire. Steve, you and I have gone back and forth on who is the wide receiver two. I think it's Zacharias. You think it's Russell Gage. Eric, I need you to finally get on the record and be our tiebreaker. Who steps up as the number two in Atlanta?
Kyle Pitts.
Boom! Shit! He went all the way to Kyle Pitts. I love it.
That's the second guy I'd want to own as far as pass catchers go.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that. I think he is the number two look.
I mean, if we're going with receivers, I don't know, man. Gage outplayed him, outsnapped him, but I think Zacchaeus is more of a true number two, whereas Gage, I think, might be more of a like a slot-type wide receiver. This was off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I really don't have a huge interest in either of them, but I mean, Oz, I'm just going to call him Oz. Oz, you can probably pick up off waivers if you haven't already. Gage is somebody who's probably owned and you'd have to offer something for him. I guess I'd go with Gage. But I wouldn't be surprised if Oz outproduced him.
All right. Well, Steve, he has taken your side.
Again, so Russell... I'm right and Brian is wrong.
Yeah, because we've always used Eric as the meter for right and wrong. Yeah.
It's 2-1.
Mistake. But hey, so real quick, I got a question to spin off of this one. Where would you guys have Calvin Ridley ranked?
I would have him... Man, I still haven't adjusted my rankings. It's, it makes me a terrible fantasy expert, I know. But...
Man, he's going to be my wide receiver 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to climb way up there. I just don't want to say something too silly, but he's going to be way the fuck up there.
I've got him. I've got him inside my top 10.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's not even up for debate.
I don't have him in my top 5.
I have him. I have him at number 5.
He's either He's going to be 4 or 5 for me.
Possibly number 6 if I slide Justin Jefferson ahead of him. But right now he's 5. I'll put Jefferson at 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be a target monster.
Yeah, and he was fine without Julio.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be fine. I probably have him at like 8. So
that's respectable. I mean, he's probably he's becoming my favorite second round target in redraft leagues right now. Like, start with a good running back and go circle it back with Ridley or Jefferson if he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a start I'm going to be looking to hopefully get a lot of shares of this season. Yeah.
And another player I wanted to ask about was Firkser. Is somebody that we've been talking about as a late round tight end, last round flyer and redraft, somebody who grabs super, super late in your veteran startup, because we saw some upside. Now that Julio's there, what do you project out of Firkser, Steven?
I'm fine with still taking him as a late round, you know, last 3 rounds of your draft, taking him to see what happens. But Jonnu vacated 65 targets. I think Firkser at best gets 40 of those.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Jonnu had 8 touchdowns. Julio's never been a big touchdown guy as far as, you know, a big red zone target for whatever reason. So I think Firkser still has the opportunity to pick up, you know, the 8 touchdowns that were vacated, but you really can't predict touchdowns. So.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher. I think you're right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Where he's going, there's no wrong answer. Like, if he sucks, you just cut him. You know, it's not killing you. And I was just curious if your outlook had changed. Like, he was somebody I was seriously looking for, and now he'd literally have to fall in my lap, you know?
Yeah, I'm not searching him out. I'm not reaching for him. If he's there at the end of my draft, I'll take him. If he's not, I'll live without him. I still have, you know, I still have an outlook where he can succeed, but I think now it's going to be a couple years down the road.
Eric, any thoughts?
Yeah, he went from very touchdown dependent, which, like I said to you off air, if a tight end catches a touchdown in a given week, he's probably going to finish top 12. Probably going to finish top 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just trying to predict those weeks, like Steve said. It's kind of tough to predict touchdowns. I think Firkser is going to be more of a guy I might look at in DFS week to week, potential matchups, play the matchup game. As far as redraft goes, I think there's other guys in that range now that I'd rather throw darts on, but I don't fault anybody for throwing a dart at him because he's going so late, and he's probably, his ADP is only going to drop.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely, with the addition of Julio, he's losing targets. But he's losing potential targets, I should say.
Yeah. So I think that pretty much covers that. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the mailbag segment, so why don't we jump straight into our pick aside.
Pick a side.
So, Steven, why don't you give us some dynasty trades that you've been seeing around your many, many leagues?
All right. So, the same as last time. I'll give you team A and team B, a rough idea what team needs are, and you guys decide which side of the trade you would prefer. We'll start with an easy one. Team A gets DJ Shark. Team needs were just depth, no general depth, no real needs. And Team B gets Carson Wentz and Denzel Mims and a 2022 second. Their team needs were running back depth, and it is a one quarterback league.
I mean, I like Wentz this year. I
don't mind getting a second. I think Mims has upside, and I don't really believe in Chark. I'll take Team B.
I'm on Team Chark.
Team Chark.
Yeah. Wow. The Charknado.
Wow.
Baby Chark, doo 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 doo. Baby Chark, doo 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 doo.
All right. Interesting. A split.
I don't really believe in split. I've really cooled off on Mims. Wentz, I don't know, dude. He's a coin flip. In the 2022 second, I'm assuming this team's pretty decent. So it's probably going to be a late second, which is, at least at this point in time, it's not really looking like it's going to be a great pick because this is not a very deep draft class at the moment. But that could change in 6 months.
Yeah. Steven, which way do you lean?
I lean the B side just because you're getting the extra players. To me, it's kind of a wash with Chark in the second.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Really breaks out. So you're getting a couple extra players for to give up one.
Yeah, and I mean, we're at single QB. It's like Wentz doesn't have a ton of value because I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback, which is really the only thing that matters in single QB. But I like the upside of Mims. Like, do I think he'll break out? Like, no, I don't. But I like the upside. I'm willing to gamble on it. I think he has more upside than Chark, you know? Yep. So if I get him and a second, I'm good, you know?
I don't, with the recent emergence of Elijah Moore and all the buzz coming out of the camp. It sounds like he's killing it.
Well, Elijah Moore's my dude. I'm not going to argue with you there, but, you know, every team needs more than one wide receiver.
Until they put pads on.
They got Corey Davis, too.
I don't take a whole lot of stock into what they're doing in training camp.
Yeah.
No, I don't either, but just it when you see eight different reports about Elijah Moore, it's kind of like, okay, you got to know which ones to listen to.
I hope he does well because I really do like the talent, and I think he will. I don't put a lot of stock in a lot of the reports coming out without pads other than the ones that say, this guy looks like trash.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have pads on and you look like trash and you're not in a very complex offense, then there might be a problem. But
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Justin Fields.
Well, I read that Justin Fields was money.
Now, Fields was doing well in training camp. Jordan Love had the one hiccup, but I guess he's been doing better. But, yeah, those are the ones that I pay more attention to in this type of camp is the ones where
– Yeah, bad reports.
Bad reports. Because if you're doing bad without pads,
you should be set up to succeed. There's no defenders, and you're not allowed to hit.
And you're not allowed to get hit. Yeah, there's nobody going to stumble into you because they're going to get fined. So.
I mean, you think Tom Brady's good in the NFL? We should see him on Thanksgiving when he plays flag. I mean,
right?
you got another trade for us?
I got another trade for you. So this one's going to be in a 14-team Superflex league. Team A gets Justin Herbert, Laviska Shenault, and a third. Their team needs were quarterback and flex depth. They gave up DJ Chark, Justin Jefferson, a 2022 first, and a 2022 second. Those went to Team B, and Team B's needs were running back.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, that is a haul.
It is, but it's a 14 team, and it's super flex. So quarterbacks are at an even more of a premium because there's only 32. So, 20, you know, if each team gets two, you're at 28. There's only four extra. So
I understand that. And I'm not even saying it's unfair. I'm just saying this is a seriously tough one to judge.
I'm bitching out.
Are you?
It's a fair trade.
It's a very fair trade. So, I mean, really, to me, it comes down to who is the number one in Jacksonville. If Shenault's the number one, Team A wins this trade. If Chark is the number one, Team B wins this trade. And I want to lean B because of the first and second. I think if you'd given up a first, it would have been enough. But it's close. It's close. This is a really, really tough one. Steve, where are you leaning?
Being as I know the teams, I lean Team A. Team A got a lot better with the trade. Team B is going to be in the playoffs anyway, so it was just depth for them.
But oh, I like really, that even better.
It really helped out Team A to get them into that next boost.
See, I kind of look at it the opposite. You're looking at a non-playoff team trying to make the playoffs, and you have a playoff team getting better, I'll take the playoff team getting better every time. Team B. Eric?
I will go with Team B as well. But this is a super, super close trade.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nobody got ripped off on this one.
One of the fairer trades that I've heard in a while. Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes there's some rip-off trades, but most of the time they're pretty balanced.
Usually, yeah, usually they're fairly balanced.
And you can usually figure out how the losing side thought they were winning. You know?
Yeah.
Whether you agree or not is different, but you can at least look at it and go, oh, I know he thinks this is valuable, but I don't think it is, you know?
We'll get to one of those a little bit later.
All right, so hit us with another one.
All right, so this one is Team A gets George Kittle. Their team needs were running back depth. They give up Darnell Mooney and a rookie first and a rookie second in this year's drafts. Those picks ended up being Devontae Smith and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So you basically got three wide receivers for George Kittle that all have breakout potential, but none of them have done it.
Correct.
I know which way you're leaning. I know. I know you want me to say A, but I'm going to say B. I really like Mooney a lot. Devontae Smith is a great player. I know I keep talking about how afraid of him I am, but I cannot deny the talent. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, yeah, I don't think he's in for the kind of season people think he is, but who else are they going to throw to? You know, I'll take Team B. I'll take Team B.
Eric?
Who is Team B's new tight end? Who's their starting tight end now that Kittle's gone? Because if that's a precipitous drop-off, then that could change my outlook.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, gee, yeah, no, Team B all day and night.
He's got Kittle, Pitts. He's also
Kittle
got
was expendable.
Goddard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Team B, too, for the fact that they have Pitts.
Okay. Now, what if I tell you that by doing this, Team A was only lacking at tight end and should be... They should have a team that takes a bye week in the playoffs by adding Kittle.
It doesn't matter. If you make your team better... It's like trading property monopoly. Sometimes you have to make somebody else better to get better yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the Team B side as well.
Yeah,
because it's a rebuilding team, and he made a great move with the picks and what he added. But sometimes it depends on, you know, what the other team's going to look like.
No, that's true too. I mean, you don't want to build a powerhouse, but it's not like Kittle is a spring chicken. You know, it's like. He's not going to be good forever, you know?
Yep.
So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
All right. A round of B's. All right. Next trade. Team A gets Julio and Saquon. Now, this is pre-trade. This is before the rookie draft. Team A gets Julio and Saquon. Their needs were running back one and wide receiver depth. Team B gets Laviska Shenault, A.J. Dillon, the rookie 102, the rookie 302, and a 2022 first. So the 102 ended up being ET, and the 302 ended up being Elijah Mitchell. Team B is in a minor rebuild. They needed a running back, too, and some depth. Again, this was pre-draft.
So, man, that's tough because I like the one a lot. I think I've been pretty clear on that. ET is obviously dope. Elijah Mitchell is a kid I really believe in. I know people think I'm pissing in the wind talking about him having a serious role in this offense because he was drafted late, but you gotta believe, man. And I am going to take the side of Team B, believe it or not.
Brian is anti A. He always votes B, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
If you pay Steve extra, he will put you in column B.
I'm taking Team A because not only did they, I feel like they got the best player in the trade, I think they got the second best player in the trade.
No, yeah. And that's true, but
yeah.
Number one, can Saquon stay healthy? And number two, how long does Julio have left?
And all is he as guys, good as...
Yeah, what? All and he went to a low-volume offense.
They all absolutely did. Trust me, I've preached that. But most of these guys have questions. What's ETN's role going to be? What's Mitchell's role going to be? Is Laviska Shenault going to take this snap in year two?
No, but I agree with that completely. My only thing is they are young with a ton of potential. That's yeah. I'll take the potential.
Plus, he gets a 2022 first, which is going to be a late one, but. He'll
still be
gets
some decent players,
pick.
But there won't be good running backs left.
Yep. I also take A on that one, but like I said, I know what the team looks like.
I feel you.
Okay. Next trade. Team A gets Davante Adams, a 2022 first, and a 2022 second. Team A trades away Christian McCaffrey. Team B needed a running back. James Conner was his only starter.
Hold on, you need to tell me what else Team B got.
Nothing. Just C-Mac. So this is where it gets better. So Team A now has as his starting running backs Kareem Hunt and Devin Singletary.
Oh, so he's all set. He's got the 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit, is that a haul? That is a fucking haul. I hope Hayes is listening.
Yeah, Adams a first and a second next year for C-Mac. Both teams were set at wide receiver before the trade.
Yeah.
Team A didn't need Adams. Overall, I think it's a fucking stupid trade. I think Team A made out great. But overall, knowing both teams, I think it was a dumb fucking trade.
Dude, he got a fucking haul for CMC. Top five wide receiver, a first and a second.
Yeah, he basically got three firsts and a second for McCaffrey.
Yeah, because if you wanted, you could trade Adams for two firsts.
For two firsts, right. I mean, that's legitimately, he got three firsts and a second for McCaffrey.
That's nuts. Yeah. Team A all day and night. And then, see? You should have paid the extra. I'll take Team A.
He did pay the extra. Eric?
They both lose that one. Yeah, like you said, that just sounds like a wonky trade because, like, on one end, it sounds like he could have held on to McCaffrey. I don't know. Maybe he's completely tanking.
Well, I was about to say, I'm assuming he's in rebuild and he's going to trade Adams. Yeah. You know,
Adams is going to be an in-season trade piece.
All right. So the last trade that I have for you guys today, actually, it's a three-parter. Two parts of this happened in our listener league, so it's fair game. Sorry about the repercussions for those involved, but here it comes.
You don't have to submit anything. We own your shit. You're in our league.
Rockstar!
Yep. Friend of the show, Rockstar.
Friend of the show. Undefeated.
Undefeated still. So he trades with Brian. This was before the rookie draft. Rockstar gets the one, Ezekiel Elliott. He sends to Brian one Antonio Brown, a 2021 first, which was the 1.07, with which Brian takes Mr. Sermon. And he also gets a 22 first for a player to be named later. Not a bad trade. Pretty decent value, two firsts and a throw-in player, which has some upside. I think we're all fairly acceptable of that trade. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty even. I mean, when we made the trade, AB was a free agent.
Correct.
So that was what kind of evened it out. If he had already been signed by Tampa Bay, he probably wouldn't have given him up. But there was some uncertainty. I was willing to gamble on it. Obviously, I gambled and won. I'm very comfortable rolling with AB this year, you know, as a depth piece. And I got two firsts out of it. So
you would think it would stop there, but it doesn't. So
you
Rockstar
would. You would
decides,
think.
You know what? I don't really like Zeke. I'm going to shop him around. So he actually sends Zeke to Luke for Antonio Gibson and two 2022 second round picks, one of them being Eric's, which everybody...
Which is probably going to be a high second.
Correct. So he gave up two firsts and a player to get Zeke. He gets back 2 seconds and arguably a little bit better long-term player in Gibson because of age and position. What do you guys think about the second trade?
I think if I was going to ship Zeke out of town, I'd have got more than I paid for him. That's really, I mean, really the beginning and the end of it. I paid two firsts in a depth piece. I'm not selling him for 2 seconds and a wide receiver, a running back too.
Right.
That's pretty much where I'm at.
So here's the thing. I feel like if he could have changed and flipped one of those seconds and said, make one of them a first, I think I would be like, you know, that's pretty damn fucking fair.
Yep.
But here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I own his first for the next 2 years. I'm pretty sure. I think.
Yeah.
I think. I know I have his 23. I think I have his 22 as well.
Who's that, Luke's?
Luke's, yeah. I don't know if you can peek real quick. I have Luke's 2022 first and his 2023 first and his 2023 second.
How is that possible?
Because he traded with...
Remember we made the 103
trade?
Oh,
yeah, you gave... The 2023 second is your second that he gave to Rockstar.
Yes.
He didn't have a first to give Rockstar unless he wanted to wait 3 years.
Yeah. So, but at that point, if you're a Rockstar, don't accept. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's not enough for Zeke. It's not enough. When I made that trade for Zeke, I did not feel like I robbed him blind. I felt like it was a pretty fair trade. And then he gets 2 seconds and a downgrade at running back, and he looks at it and goes, wow, I killed it. I don't understand where the logic is. Like, justify it somehow. I can't figure out, you know?
I don't, like, I don't know if he's playing the long-term game, but, like, he doesn't really have any picks. So if he sucks, he's just going to help you out. He's going to help me out because I have a couple of his picks. And now I don't think it was like a – I don't think this was like a highway robbery deal. I think he could have gotten a little bit more.
No, he could have gotten more.
For Zeke.
He definitely could have gotten
more. Like I said,
more.
If he was able to
– No.
If he was able to flip one of those seconds for a first, but like I said, it would kind of be tough because I own Luke's next 2 year first, I would be like, that's pretty damn fair trade. So I don't know if he just kind of said, well, it's the best I'm going to get. And I didn't even know Zeke was on the block. Did he put him on the block or?
I don't think so. This was definitely not like a Hayes style raping, but you know, I mean, I think he could have got a little more. I don't like the value he got, but
well, if you don't like that one, you're definitely not going to like the next part of it. Different league, different owners. Team A gets Antonio Gibson and only one 22 second for Aaron Jones.
For Aaron Jones?
Yes.
Team B. Team B. Can I say it again? Team B.
Team B, yeah.
Like, holy
I
fuck.
I will take Team B as well.
Steal.
No, listen. Antonio Gibson is getting a lot of buzz lately.
So he has turf toe.
He's going to the moon, dude. Like, there's a lot of people that believe he's going to break into the top 10.
They do. Which I probably could see a way that could happen. But he's dealing with turf toe. And as a running back, it does not go away, and it can flare up at any point unless he gets surgery. And he's not going to get surgery right now.
The fact that that's flaring up 6 months later is kind of concerning.
Correct.
It is a little, it's kind of like you've had plenty of time to rest.
The only thing that's going to fix it is surgery. And he didn't have it in the off season. So it's they're just starting to work out now and run and do drills and stuff, and it's starting to flare up. So he could be a liability on your fantasy team this year. I'm not saying trade him, I'm not saying dump him. I'm just saying there's a distinct possibility that your RB1 or RB2 going into the season might only play half his games because he can't fucking run.
I can't imagine a world where you look at this trade and go, well, I really like Aaron Jones. And Team A says, well, I'll give you Antonio Gibson. And you go, well, I really like him too. But what if I give you a second and you can take a depth piece in the draft? Oh, perfect. Yeah, of course. Here, take Aaron Jones. The guy that's finished top five the last two fucking years has no competition. Like, what? That is fucking blasphemy, dude. Like, honestly, I'm more on board with the Zeke trade. Easily more on board with the Zeke trade.
Yeah, at least he got a couple of fucking picks. And like I said, the second round pick in that trade that he got from me, it's probably going to be a top three player. So it's a borderline first round pick. Not quite a first, but.
Yeah.
All right.
Quickly, Antonio Gibson's ADP right now is 204.
Yep.
That's fourth pick of the second round.
Too high. Too high.
16 next overall.
And, like, the thing with Gibson and Dynasty, with the turf toe thing, if you really, really, really like Gibson, wait. Don't buy him now. Buy him later.
Yeah.
If something happens and this thing flares up and he misses games, he's got to miss time. He's got to get surgery. Get him on the fucking cheap and get him for next year. Because he seems like he's got that injuries. And so I follow a couple of these doctors on Twitter who these fan whatever. And they're basically saying that like there's multiple ways it can go. It can kind of just be a lingering issue. It's a pain tolerance thing. He kind of plays through it. It could be a thing where he has missed a game, misses a game here and there, like maybe a game throughout the season. And then, like they said, worst case scenario was surgery and bye bye 2021 season. Like they just said, this is something to monitor throughout training camp because and see what they say.
I can tell you this: I have it in my left foot, and there's days I can barely fucking walk. When it flares up, because it basically the joint locks up and on your big toe, or one.
You can get turf toe from watching football.
Yeah, it's amazing. Fantasy football injury.
Yeah, don't they sign up for workman's comp? This isn't a real job,
Brian. I mean, some of us were actually athletes in high school. We didn't just sit and watch from the stands. But,
oh, get out of here! Not you.
Yeah, me.
Were you in band?
I was in band. Marching band.
All right. I think we have time for one more. You want to give us one more?
Yeah, I can give you one more. It's a two-parter. Team A is the same team. I'll do the first trade and the second trade. So Team A is a heavily rebuilding team. They get Juju, a 22 first, a 23 second, a 24 third.
So Juju, 2022 first, 2023 second.
2024 third.
And 2024 third.
Yeah. And okay. Now I know you guys are sitting down because he gave up. Team B gets DeAndre Hopkins, Salvin Ahmed, and a 2024 second.
Team B, just because of the column. I always pick Team B. I don't want to fuck that up. No, yeah. I mean... DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep. Well, like I said, Team A is rebuilding, so they need picks.
They
got a decent return for Hopkins, but I don't think he needed to throw in the second. I think he gave up too much.
Nah. Yeah. You got to get those first in 2023, man. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You sleep, everybody's going to be dying when that draft class fucking declares.
So, I mean, you got a first, second, third, and a decent guy to hang on to, I guess, with Juju. We'll see where he lands in free agency. But, I mean, he did give up DeAndre Hopkins, and he gave up a second. So the seconds are a wash. So he basically gave up.
It's 3 years from now. I get that. But
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a world where he's still rebuilding in 3 years or you know, trying to finish his rebuild in 3 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially, I mean, I look at the seconds as a wash. I mean, if you give a second and get a second, I say it's a wash. So you got Juju, a first and a third for DeAndre Hopkins and Salvin Ahmed. I expect to give up more for D-Hop.
Okay, Eric?
I think the D-Hop side won as well.
Okay. Now the second half of this, Team A, same team. They get DJ Shark, Stevie Scott, who is a running back for New Orleans, since I doubt anybody knows who he is.
Just looking up today, actually.
Yeah. 2022 first, 2022 second, and a 2023 third. And he gives up to Team B, Nick Chubb, James White, and Gabe Davis.
So let me just go over this quick. So
yeah,
he gave up Chark.
He got Chark. And
yeah,
Scott.
Got Chark, Stevie Scott, 2022 first, 2022 second, 2022 third.
2023 third.
2023 third. And he gave up Nick Chubb, James White, and Gabriel Davis.
Correct.
That is tough. That is tough. He got a lot of picks.
You don't think that... Go ahead.
No, I mean, no. Ask your question. Ask your question.
You don't think that Nick Chubb's worth more than one first?
I was going to say, I think Chubb's worth more than what he got.
No, the he second, absolutely is.
Gabriel Davis is worth a second. I mean,
Gabriel Davis ain't worth fuck all. He sucks.
Oh, there's people that believe in him still.
When he takes Manny Sanders' job this year, we'll see.
How dare you, sir?
Exactly. He's a prospect, and you're a rebuilding team, so you can get a second for him. People believe that he's actually has he is talented. I'm not going to say that he's not, but... it's cloudy there for a year or two, but I think he does emerge with a role at some point in that offense.
No, and I don't think he sucks either, but he's a prospect. I rank him like way below like Denzel Mims. Like, I look at Denzel Mims and I see a path to relevance. I don't see a path for Gabriel Davis.
I do. Somebody's going to get hurt there. But
you know, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to owning him. I'm just saying that I don't look at him as, like, a big piece I got in a trade. Like, to me, he's a throw-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a close deal, and the guy gets his hand. I'll throw in Gabriel Davis. Yeah, all right, fuck it, I'll accept, you know?
James White, kind of a throw-in, too. I mean, what's he got, a year or two of relevance left at most?
Yeah, where the fuck did he land anyway?
James White's in New England.
He's in New England.
He re-signed.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burkhead went to Houston.
Oh, that's right. Burkhead left. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What a fucking muddy backfield that's turning into. Houston.
Oh my God, dude! You can't draft any of them, dude.
No, you gotta pick the waiver wire and get which one's gonna start that week. That one's crazy. So, that's my thing. Like, I'm on the B side with this one. I don't think he got enough for Chubb. That's my two cents on it.
And I don't necessarily think you're wrong. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, he probably undersold. Yeah, I'll take Team B.
On Team B.
I look at the two trades, and it makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's rebuilding. He's taking picks, and he's getting players that you can build around that won't be completely irrelevant in 3 to 4 years when he has a team put back together. Because it's a super flex league, and the guy has one quarterback.
He needs to do a better job of maximizing value. Mm-hmm. You can't just take whatever picks fall in your lap for stud players. Like, you can't give away D-Hop and Chubb. Like,
right.
Now that I see he has two firsts, two seconds, two thirds, three thirds, it's like, I want to, like, oh, okay, Team A, like, he has all those picks. But you're right, he didn't maximize value. He undersold on D-Hop, he undersold on Chubb. He could have got more for those players. And he chose not to. So, yeah, I'll take Team B on both trades.
Okay. That's all I got?
That's all he's got, folks. So,
you guys got to make more fucking trades. I'm running out of content.
All right. So, I think that's pretty much going to wrap up this episode. Steven, did you have anything else you wanted to add to the listeners?
I do not.
Eric, anything you wanted to add?
What are we doing next week? We got anything to give him a little bit of a tease or too soon?
TBD.
TBD? That's the tease. Next week, join us. We're going to talk about fantasy football.
Hopefully somebody breaks their leg or something in training camp so we have something to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, tons to talk about then. So if you want to reach out to us, leave us a email at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 508-343-8010. It will not ring. It'll go straight to voicemail. If you do that, either one of those things, you will have half of your entry fee to win both an 8x10 of Amari Cooper and Miles Gaskin, signed and authenticated. All you have to do is leave us a message, send us an email, and share a social media post. Or you can join our Patreon at the $5 tier. Up to you. have added Haas. If you have a league, a draft, a trade, anything you would like to be judged, we will make a special episode just for you and your league mates. And all you have to do is send us an email with pictures or screenshots to dddfantasyfootballjudge@gmail.com. You can get to both of those links on our website, daydreamingdegenerates.com. We look forward to hearing from all of you. So, obviously, we've had a lot of fun tonight going through our mailbag. Thank you guys so much for the messages. We can't wait to give this stuff away. Congratulations to the big winner from last month. Next month's going to be even bigger giveaway. Start telling your friends. Start sending messages. We need you guys to come claim this stuff so I don't get stuck with it. I got too much stuff. You got to help me out. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next week.